Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, January 15th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande. Here are our top stories this evening. Some Zimbabweans have dismissed as baseless reports that President Mugabe is sick.
These are false and malicious reports intended to damage the image of the president.
Zimbabwe attempts to save thousands of livestock being decimated by drought.
This is a very welcome development, given that we have the challenge that we cannot move those cattle up to non-put-them-out areas.
And civil society urges government to seek alternative accommodation for its vice president, who has been living in a hotel for more than a year. These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. Rumors about President Robert Mugabe's state of health and sharp reactions by ZANU-PF and presidential spokesman George Charamba have set the social and mainstream media on fire. Some Zimbabweans are now urging the government to disclose the president's state of health while on holiday in the Far East, following unconfirmed reports that he suffered a heart attack. The government has since dismissed these reports as baseless. Our correspondent Ivan Chifera reports from Harare.
Some local people say while Mr. Mugabe is now 91 years old, an age which is commonly associated with many health challenges, it is unlikely that he is sick, as such reports have been circulating over the years when the president is on vacation in Asia. President Mugabe and his wife left for a vacation on December the 15th at an unspecified destination in the Far East following the ZANU-PF People's Conference held in Victoria Falls. When the president left the country, Vice President Pelekezi Zelamboko took over as acting president, a position he held until recently when Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa returned from leave. Mnangagwa is currently the acting president, a move that has generated a lot of interest among Zimbabweans when he took over from Poko. This coincided with a report that the president had some health issues. Some observers and government insiders say this arrangement was made before Mr. Mugabe went on leave, though Charamba and ZANU-PF spokesman Simon Kayamoyo have squashed rumors that the president may be experiencing health challenges while on leave after allegedly experiencing a heart attack. This has set social and mainstream media on fire. What would ease the nation's angry curiosity about the state of their president? Melod Garaipa of Chitungwiza said, while she is now familiar with the annual rumor concerning the president's health, there is need for government to open up about his condition and whereabouts.
And it normally happens every January. So I think it's also important for the ZANU-PF people to communicate the correct message to the public regarding the health and the whereabouts of the president so that they can curb the speculations.
Garaipa said the president must at times spend his holidays in the country to avoid such kind of reports. Milton Piri of Harare's Rugari High Density Suburb said, while the president's health problems have, in his words, become a usual January rumor, it clearly shows what Zimbabweans think about Mr. Mugabe's state of health all the time.
I think now the people are now cooking stories, and I think if the day comes, there will be celebration in Zimbabwe, in the streets of Zimbabwe.
But for ZANU-PF youth Onias Mabara of Mbare, the rumors were cooked up by the president's enemies.
These are false and malicious reports intended to damage the image of the president.
Independent political commentator Fortune Gwaze concurred, saying the nation is now accustomed to the rumors.
I don't think there is anything to end unless we see him not coming back when he's supposed to assume his duties in early February or end of January.
For Owen Huayo, the health concerns are the work of some political players who want to portray Mr. Mugabe as an invincible man.
When people start talking about Mugabe's death, then the next day they see him well, coming up strongly, and then they say, this guy is invincible. So they want to paint the pictures of Mugabe as someone who's beyond human frailties, like he's not affected by his health.
But Harare Polytechnic media lecturer Wellington Gadzikwa blamed all this on what he called short journalism.
media organizations or journalists are churning out, are writing stories that are false, that really have no facts, that are fictitious, and that are also malicious. People will never trust the media, because why should you trust the same media which gives you false information to give you accurate information? So the media profession is likely not to be taken seriously.
Rumors of this nature have occurred annually, with a memorable headline once quoting President Mugabe stating that, quote, "I'm not dead." Mr. Mugabe, who has ruled Zimbabwe for more than 35 years, turns 92 next month. Meanwhile, Mnangagwa and Mpoko have taken turns to serve in Mr. Mugabe's position while he's on leave. Political analysts say there was nothing wrong with the arrangement, given that they've always done so in the past. VOI said it did not matter who acted as president, because patent government meetings such as the ruling ZANU-PF Politburo and cabinet do not take place when Mr. Mugabe is on leave or out of the country.
It proves that Zimbabwean politics is shaped around an individual and not an institution. This poses a lot of problems when it comes to decision-making.
Former Zimbabwe National Students Union leader Tafadzwa Mugwadi said it was important for the two vice presidents to alternate, as it gave them experience to lead the nation.
It's giving both of them, you know, an opportunity to, you know, showcase their potential, demonstrate their ability to run the nation and assist the president, especially when he's not available.
Mr. Mugabe, who is also chairman of the African Union, is expected back home at the end of this month. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Thanks, Ivan. Meanwhile, alleged G40 members, Sports Minister Makosini Hlongwane, Deputy Labour Minister Tapiwa Matangaidze and Tourism Deputy Minister Anastasia Ndlovu have filed a complaint to the Midlands ZANU-PF province that they are being intimidated by Mnangagwa allies. The accused Vice President's allies are members of Parliament, Justice Mayor Wadjajena and Owen Madanube, and Provincial Youth Chairperson Edmore Samambwa. Hlongwane, in very brief remarks, confirmed that the disciplinary hearing is on tomorrow. Party insiders told Studio 7 that if the three strongest allies of Mnangagwa are suspended or expelled, it can be a game changer in the succession war, as the vice president has successfully defended them on many occasions. The tensions in the party have been heightened by the break-in at Mnangagwa's Harare office and the discovery of a bullet in Hlongwane's hotel room. But party spokesman Simon Kayamoyo tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the party will continue to deal with errant members.
As a constitution, Blessing, as a party, we've got procedures, we've got regulations we will follow. And if anybody violates any of these provisions, it doesn't mean you are given credit for that. Certainly, you have to answer to the issues raised if you told the enemy. And as far as I know, that was the position. And that is still the position in terms of the party. If we don't follow the constitution, if we don't follow procedures and our regulations, then second, we're not running a party.
But is this not weakening the party, Ambassador?
You mean one should be allowed to do as they please in order to strengthen the party?
So you are saying...
Is that what you are suggesting?
It's not coming to an end.
What is supposed to come to an end?
The suspensions, and the one who hope that by now there will be stability.
I talked of procedures. The procedures are not yet concluded and not as finalized. You can't just stop off and say no more.
That was ZANU-PF spokesman Simon Kayamoyo speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. Blessing also reached political analyst Joy Mabenge of the Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition, who says it's not surprising that Midlands province has become the new center of the battle to succeed Mr. Mugabe.
It mustn't surprise us, because we know that the Midlands province is where one of the most likely successors to President Mugabe is hailing from, Vice President, Mnangagwa. So it wouldn't surprise us really that the province becomes so much contested, because it is also the epicenter of the contestations. But also we must understand that one of the reasons really would be for factions to gain upper hand, for factions to gain ground. And they would do this through discrediting each other. So the G40 faction would fight very hard to ensure that they weaken the Mnangagwa faction. But the Mnangagwa faction would also fight very hard because they wouldn't want to be invaded in their own territory and be reduced. So they will fight not only very hard, but viciously so. So it's not surprising, really.
But after the annual conference, one would have thought that the divisions in the party will not be widening. Why is it that there's so much tension?
What did the annual conference do to deal with the divisions? Nothing. Nothing, really. In fact, we all knew that it was not an elective congress.
That was a political analyst Joy Mabenge of the Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Johannesburg. The government has partnered with the Food and Agriculture Organization to provide subsidized stock feed to farmers in Masvingo province, gripped by a crippling drought that has left more than 5,000 cattle dead. The Zimbabwe Commercial Farmers Union has welcomed the move, saying this will save thousands of livestock being killed by the current dry spell. Farmers in Chiredzi who are benefiting under this program are expected to pay for the stock feed. But ZCFU President Wanda Chabikwa speaks to Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri about this and what farmers should do in their fields.
This is a very welcome development, given that we have the challenge that we cannot move those cattle up to non-feed-them-out areas. So the answer is to feed, to maintain those cattle there with what is called survival feed. So we welcome that move and we want to thank government for that. The intervention must be done.
Is it not too late, Mr. Chabikwa, for the government to assist farmers now?
Yeah, it is too late, but it's better late than never. What is this move that has been taken in October, November? Now it's too late, but we are saying better late than never. Next time it was done earlier.
What can you tell farmers who still have cattle that are dying?
We want to say, farmers, sell some of your cattle, those that are still in better condition. Get money and buy survival food.
May you update us on the situation on the ground following the week-long rains registered in most parts of the country?
Yeah, the season has improved just from Monday when we started receiving some widespread rainfall. Some crops were almost at the permanent rooting point. Now they have survived for now. Some crops have already been germinated. Now they are germinating.
That was Zimbabwe Commercial Farmers Union President Wanda Chabikwa on the phone with reporter Jonga Kandemiri. Civil society organizations have joined the growing chorus of disgruntled Zimbabweans dismayed at the extended stay of Vice President Pelegezela Mpoko at a posh Rainbow Hotel, whose bill is now estimated at nearly $500,000. Mpoko has been staying at the 4.5-star hotel since his appointment on December 2014 with his wife, dismissing a number of houses that he has been offered as not meeting his standard. Crisis Zimbabwe Coalition spokesman Dumisani Nkomo tells Studio 7 they are appalled about Mpoko's overstay at the hotel and want him evicted as soon as possible.
So as a coalition, we were very unhappy. At the time when teachers, at the time when most of the servants were paid late and some of them paid, were saying the government has to be responsible.
Mr. Nkomo, Mr. Mpoko has been staying at the hotel for a couple of dozen months now. Why take it late when he's reported to have found a place where he's going to move?
Yeah, but the issue is that it's not about Mpoko. The issue is it's about principles. Yes, we hear that the amount that will be spent on that house is in the region of 4 million. Surely you can imagine how many civil servants can be paid from that amount of money. It clearly shows that there's a high level of insensitivity to the plight of civil servants, to the plight of hundreds of thousands of unemployed Zimbabweans.
That was Dumisani Nkomo, Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition spokesman. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Bulawayo. Remember, we are conducting a poll on our website on your expectations for 2016. Register your vote on www.voazimbabwe.com. Don't be left out. Cast your vote now at www.voazimbabwe.com.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metom Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Here's a look at regional and international news. Worries about China's slowing growth and further drops in oil prices sparked a global stock sell-off today. The cost of a barrel of oil slid below $30 for both the Brent and West Texas Intermediate benchmarks. A suspected terrorist was killed and at least two others arrested today, according to Indonesian police, who said they had conducted raids in multiple locations in the wake of the downtown Jakarta fatal attack the previous day. A spokesman for the Bring Back Our Girls movement in Nigeria has again said it's the duty of the Nigerian government to rescue the Chibok girls from Boko Haram captivity, regardless of which political party is in power. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington, D.C. Human rights lawyers have welcomed the Judicial Services Commission's decision to turn current circuit courts into permanent high court stations, saying the move will help bring justice closer to ordinary people and help boost their confidence in the country's justice delivery system. Our correspondent Taurai Shava gives us more.
Speaking to Studio 7 regarding the move, Director Irene Petras of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights said the organization welcomes and supports the establishment of high court stations outside Harare and Bulawayo. Earlier this week, at the official opening of the court's 2016 legal year in Bulawayo, High Court Judge President Justice George Chueshe revealed that the Judicial Services Commission was moving ahead with plans to upgrade circuit courts into fully-fledged High Court stations. It is not known how much money would be needed to upgrade each circuit court into a permanent station. Petra said the move will help ordinary people have better access to the country's justice delivery system.
We believe that particularly in a society which is facing serious social and economic challenges, geographical accessibility of the courts is very important, as people can't really afford to travel to the main cities in order to access justice. So we believe that it will allow a lot more people to be able to utilize the facilities.
The country only has two high court stations in Harare and Bulawayo, but the court has some stations in Gweru, Wangelupane, Mashingo and Mtare, which handle cases for 2 weeks in each legal term. The Mashingo Circuit Center will be the first to be turned into a permanent high court station, and the further establishment of other centers is expected to help ease the backlog of the cases being handled by the court. The high court has hundreds of pending cases. Programs Director Tine Mkwewa of the Abameli Human Rights Lawyers said the move would also help boost the confidence of ordinary people in utilizing the justice system.
By making the High Court becoming a permanent feature in the smaller towns, what it means is that it's a shorter distance to be able to travel. So it means that people will be able to access justice One, promptly. Two, they limit the amount of money and also the time spent in traveling.
Petra said besides having the physical infrastructure, there is need to ensure that funds are available for the hiring of competent staff in the additional High Court centers so that the system continues to function efficiently.
Justice delivery is not just about having the physical infrastructure, but also ensuring that we have capable and efficient personnel who can make sure that every aspect of the justice delivery chain is functioning in the optimum way.
In his speech, when he officially launched the 2016 legal year, Justice Chweshe said decentralization of the High Court was a common trend, both regionally and internationally, and acknowledged that Zimbabwe is lagging behind. Justice Chweshe said the move will save costs, not only for litigants and practitioners, but also for Treasury, since it will reduce witnesses' travel and subsistence allowances, as well as expenses incurred by prison and police services in moving prisoners to and from court centers. Reporting for Studio 7 from Bulawayo, this is Taurai Shava.
And in sports news, the Zimbabwe national soccer team, the Warriors, are set to leave tomorrow for Rwanda for the 2016 Africa Champions Championships with the football family hoping for the better. Reporter Michael Kariati gives us the story.
The Warriors were supposed to have left last Sunday, but could not do so after the Zimbabwe Football Association failed to secure enough funds to take care of the players during the days in which the Confederation of African Football are not obliged to do so. According to Warriors team manager Sharif Musa, CAF are obliged to finance the team's stay in the hosting country starting from 3 days before the team's opening match, not 3 days before the start of the tournament. Zimbabwe are scheduled to play their opening game against Zambia on Tuesday, and their arrival tomorrow will be in time for CAF's financial backing. The Warriors have been in high spirits since returning to camp after the Christmas and New Year holidays, and coach Calisto Pasua has promised that they are not going there to make up the numbers, but to win the tournament.
We're going out there to go and fare and have a good result. We're not saying we're going there out, to make numbers. We want to do better.
Captain Adlife Direkwi also believes the Warriors will go far in this tournament, but adds that to make their dream a reality, they first have to win their opening game against traditional rivals in neighbor Zambia.
The first match is very important. It sets the tone to the tournament that you're going to be playing. So I think, yeah, we really have to go for it and try to win it.
Zambia, on their part, are not taking things lightly, and have recalled their 2012 Africa Cup of Nations winning captain, Christopher Katongo, who will lead a youthful side in their quest for another continental title. Katongo, who has also played in China, has now joined Zambian club side Green Buffaloes after a spell at Absa Premiership side Bidvest Wits, and revealed he wants to achieve something new with the Chipolo Polo.
Happy to be back. Hopefully that we can achieve something new for the national team.
The Zambians have built their team around only five of their top clubs: Power Dynamos, Zanaco, Zesco United, Green Eagles and Green Buffaloes. However, football fans are begging Zimbabwe to steamroll over the Zambians. Isaac Maheya, a member of the Zimbabwe National Soccer Supporters Association, is one of them and says he's certain that Zimbabwe will come out tops.
Our players, they are good players. We are very proud of them, and we are very certain our players are going to succeed in this match.
Another of Zimbabwe's football followers, Meya Makunike, refused to predict the outcome of the match but said the Warriors will have to fight hard for victory.
I won't predict the outcome of the result of the game, but every game is a new game, but Zimbabwe, we have to fight hard. We have to fight hard to win.
Although Captain Danny Piri is home injured, Zimbabwe has called probably the best locally based players available, including Ronald Chitio, Edmond Rabadare, Ocean Mshure, Knox Mtizwa, Rafael Manuvire, Joao Ngozo and Elvis Chipezese. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
Thanks, Michael. And finally, tonight in our music segment, Studio 7's Gibbs Dube caught up with the leader of Nkululeko Yabacha School of Arts, director Nkululeko Dube.
Yes, became a professional group in the year 2001, so we are in our 15th year, and we have become, I can say, a global phenomenon. We have grown beyond the borders of our city, our country, the region, and of course internationally.
Dalwa, my sweetheart, my baby. Oh, umnandi wozanga, give me baby. Nyatanda.
And when you talk about the international scene, you're always in Austria. Tell us a bit about this.
Absolutely. What we've done is just to create cultural exchange programs and to create relationships with the world of the arts outside Zimbabwe, particularly in Austria, where we have relationships with theatre houses, individual artists, musicians, poets and dancers. And of course, our own project where we do music, dance and theatre. Austria is normally our base because, you know, Austria is in the Schengen states, so it's easier to travel from Austria to countries like Italy, Germany, the Czech Republic, France, Spain and other surrounding countries.
So tell us about your productions so far. How many are they?
Wow, I think every year we have a new production, so I would count more than 15 to 20 different productions, some of them being co-productions. That means these are productions that we do together with other theatre houses. In particular, in Vienna, we have two theatre houses that we work with, one being Teatro Piccolo, and the other one is also the Chungrovin, which is a theatre house for children and young people. We basically focus on theatre for the little ones, beginning from the age of two, with productions that actually attract audiences as young as two. There's one that is called Schlaf gut, Susa Mond, which means sleep well, sweet moon, which is a production on lullabies. We also have a production currently running that is called Do You Yodel, which means can you sing like Austrians? And that is a production that actually is a satire on life as Zimbabweans in Austria. What we find amazing, what we find funny, what we find fun, and what we find good or bad about life in Austria as a foreigner. Mm-hmm. It's one very popular one.
And how do you activate audiences that don't speak your language? How do you do it?
Simple. Music, dance, and theatre, they are a universal language, particularly music and dance. We have actually trained our artists, particularly in a little bit of German, but most of our productions are in music and dance. Therefore, it's easier to get to our audiences and it's easier for them to understand our work.
That was IASA leader Nkululeko Dube talking to Gibbs Dube. And now to recap today's top stories. Zimbabweans have dismissed as baseless reports that President Mugabe is sick. Zimbabwe attempts to save thousands of livestock being decimated by drought. And civil society urges government to seek alternative accommodation for its vice president, who has been living in a hotel for more than a year, clocking up to nearly $500,000. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Ntungamili Nkomo. This is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.